And I want to challenge us today. My whole message, whatever notes you guys have in the app and that you picked up from the Welcome Center, they are irrelevant today. They're not going to matter. So you're going to want to break out your phone. You're going to want to break out your notepad. You're going to want to break out something where you can write down some old-fashioned notes. We'll come up with some discussion questions for your Connect groups. But we're just going to preach right out of the heart of God today. We're going to release the kids' class teachers to go over to the side here. We're going to release the kids real quickly to go and meet them, but then we're just going to keep on moving along. Don't let this distract you. God, we pray that you would bless these kids. Let them be so full of the anointing of God that their lives will never be the same ever again. We thank you for that, God. Will you just say this with me? I'm desperate for God. Oh, say it like you're desperate for God. I'm desperate for God. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. You know, that's the only way to get filled is to be hungry. Without a desperation, there is no filling. You're going to have to listen real careful today because I'm going to be preaching by the Holy Ghost. And for those of you that might be a little concerned that I'm not prepared, oh, I am very prepared. I'm not just prepared academically, I'm prepared spiritually. I'm not just prepared because I put some notes together. I can preach for hours without notes, believe me, because I put it on the inside. Remember, whatever's on the inside of you is going to come out of you. Right now, you don't need announcements. You can look on our website for announcements. Right now, you don't need a different word. You need this word. You don't need a different event to go on in the service. You need this right here, right now. I need this right here, right now. I'm going to do something that's really maybe out of the ordinary for some of you. And for those of you that are not used to what's going on, you notice that none of this stuff distracts me. It doesn't bother me one bit. I've had people convulsing on the ground, shrieking. I've seen demons come out of people when I'm preaching. So it doesn't bother me at all. I'm just going to preach out of the heart of God. But today, whoever was going to be doing the giving message today, you're just on pause until we let you know. But you're probably not going to preach today. But what I'd like to ask the ushers to do is I'd like you to, if you could just bring the baskets up here. And I know that this might sound a little bit strange, but Jesus stood right by the offering basket and watched as people came and gave their offering. I want to do something a little bit different, and it's not because it's in the script or we're trying something new. It's none of that. This is absolutely by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is that I'm going to ask you to listen to this word. I'm going to ask you to listen to what God just dropped into my heart as we are worshiping. And I'm going to ask you that as God moves on your heart and as you are prepared, right in the middle of the message, when you're ready to give, you just come and give. If you're giving electronically, that's totally cool. You can do that. But what I want you to do is when you're ready to present yourself before the Lord, you come on up to the basket and you present yourself to the Lord. Don't worry, it's not going to disrupt me. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful means this. It means a hilarious, eager to do it kind of a giver. Hilarious, it gives the connotation of spinning around and shouting and praising like how David danced before the Ark of the Covenant in his underwear. Please don't strip down to your underwear. Unless it's the Holy Ghost. Now, if it's the Holy Spirit and everybody is going to get healed and set free and whatever, do your thing. But if it's not, you're just going to be cold. I want to ask you to just come whenever you're ready, if you've given electronically or you're giving by the envelope. I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to not give just what you always give or the same way that you give. I want to ask you to allow God to move on your heart to give in a supernatural, responsive kind of a way to him. The Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. I'm not trying to stir up your emotions. It's not about your emotions. But can I tell you that Jesus touches your emotions? That Jesus wants to get into our heart because our emotions, our soul is so very important. But there's a division between our soul and our spirit. And the Word of God is that dividing thing that shows us which is which. I don't want you to just give emotionally. I want you to give supernaturally. I don't want you to give out of an obligation or just because I say a certain phrase. I want you to give because the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Would you say this today? I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Let's say that again. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. That's what I'm doing today. See, lest you think that I was ill-prepared, I did have a message. You can look it up. You've got the notes right there. I spent a long time preparing this message. But God said, no, my people are in a place that they need to hear a different word today. And you need to hear this word. Say this, I need this word. I'm going to allow this word to change me. If you want a title for your message, you can write this down. We want more. We want more. If you're here in church last week, you might have heard during the time of prayer that I asked this question. I said, how many of you want more in 2020? If you want more in 2020, would you raise your hand? All right, those of you that don't want more, you're not going to get more. And that's fine. You can have that. But if you want more, the question that I followed it up with is, what do you want more of? What do you want more of? You want more finances. You want more jobs. You want more vacations. You want more friends. You want more children. You want more. What do you want? Because more is such a nebulous word. Don't let this stuff bother you as people come up to give. They're doing their business with God and you do yours. But you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you're wanting more of? Because what you want more of, you may just get. But you know, when we don't know, bless you, when we don't know what it is that we want, we never know if we got it. You know, one of the things that happened this December, my birthday is in December, and my wife, very short notice, said, You need to write me a list of the things that you want for your birthday and for Christmas. I had no problem writing a list. No problem. Because I knew what I wanted. And you know what's amazing is when I got it, I knew that it was on my list. Do you know that you've got to put a demand on what it is that you're looking for from God? You've got to put a demand on it. You see, if there is no hunger, there's no filling. If there's no desperation, there's no response. Jesus is not looking for church attendees. Jesus is looking for people that are hungry, thirsty, desperate for his presence. The Bible says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does hunger look like? Hunger looks like searching. Hunger looks like not letting it go so easily. You ever meet people that they say they want this or they want that, but the smallest little bump in the road and they quit? Well, God, I want all the miracles. Are you willing to pay the price? God, I want to have more than enough. Are you willing to do what it takes to have more than enough? God, I want all the finances in the world. Are you willing to do the work? You see, we need to respond to God. How many of you want more in 2020? Amen. Can I tell you how you're going to get more in 2020? That's what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart today. Here's the question, how are you going to get more? See, in all the years that I've mentored people and helped people through many different things, a lot of times we do these things called setting goals. And there's good goals and there are bad goals. There are goals that are what they call smart goals, right? There's goals that are not only achievable, but they're also able to be measured. They are actually able to be accomplished. But we need to know what these goals are. We write them out very plainly so we know whether or not we've reached those goals. See, I have a goal in my life that eventually, at some point, should the Lord allow me to do it, I want to be able to give 90% of my income so that I can live off of 10%. And I want to live off of that 10% real good. I don't think that anybody would have a problem with me living real well off of 10% if I'm giving 90% to the Lord. What do you think? See, that's what I want. Why would you want to do that, Pastor Jake? Because I think God can. So why not? You know, I went into the doctor's not too long ago, and I was asking for these blood panels. I think some of you have heard me say this. And the doctor looked over all my vital statistics, and she looked at me, and she thought that I looked like I was in some semblance of physical shape. And so she said, why do you want all this stuff? Why do you want to do this? You're already in excellent physical health. Are you trying to be, like, extraordinary? I said, yeah, kind of. She said, why would you ever want to do that? I said, because it's possible. Now, you got to get a hold of this. Why would you want to do something that's not necessary? Because it's possible. That's why. I serve a God that makes things possible. You understand? It's more than just why. Because it's possible, Christina. It's possible. I don't serve a God that's just enough. I serve a God that's more than enough. So why do you want it? Because I can. You're being awfully quiet today. I want to talk to you about how you're going to get more. I'm going to turn to a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read a little bit. I'm really probably only going to turn to two passages of scripture today. For those of you that have not ever been in an atmosphere like this and maybe you're not sure what's going on, can I tell you how to respond? Two ways that I want you to respond and the ways that would be biblical for you to respond. Number one, you receive the word with all readiness of heart. If I'm preaching the word of God, receive it. Then you go home and you study it. You take the time, like when you would study for an exam or you would study for a test or something that you've got to pass. Because if you don't pass, you fail. God wants you to pass in this Christian life. And you've got to take it home and you've got to study it. Don't just take my word for it. Please don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. So receive it with all readiness of heart and then study it to make sure that it's so. The second thing that you should do is that you should draw on what's happening today. We have two responses that we can have when the word of God is preached, at least two. The first one, actually, there's really three. One of them is that we can totally reject the word of God. And we can say, no, that's not for me. This is really weird. I don't know what's happening. This feels weird. It feels uncomfortable. You know, going to the doctors and wearing that gown that has a split down the back, that's uncomfortable too. But why do you do it? Why do you endure it? Because it's going to change your life. Because maybe that surgery that you had to take or whatever is going to change things for the better. It might be uncomfortable here right now. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You're going to come out of it okay, I promise you. So you could reject it. The second thing that you could do is you can draw on it. You can draw on it. The Bible says, with joy will we draw forth from the wells of salvation. How many of you know that Jesus is the well of salvation? So you want to have more of Jesus in your life. You want more of his presence in your life. The way that you respond to the word that's being preached is entirely important. It is critical for how we do that. How do I know that I'm receiving it with joy and I'm drawing? Because I'm kind of leaning in, even if I'm not leaning in physically, although it doesn't hurt. If I'm leaning in my spirit and I'm saying, God, tell me more. God, I want more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Then that's drawing on the presence of God. See, I'll preach better if you draw it out of me. I'm not saying that it's your responsibility, but it's your responsibility. See, I've done my preparation and there's a well of water in here, but you gotta get the bucket from the well and draw it up. Don't just wait for the river to come and splash you. You know what I'm saying? Draw it up. You do that with joy from the wells of salvation. The third response that we can have, which I will tell you right now is the worst response that we can have, is a response that I would call indifference. That it's really a lukewarm response. That I'm going to hear it and I'm not going to reject it, but I'm going to hear it and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to listen and it's not going to change me at all. I'm going to hear this and I'm just going to let it pass right through because I came to church on Sunday like I'm supposed to. That's not the way to do this thing. Can I tell you that God hates that attitude? But what's so great is what we teach our kids, is that your attitude stinks right now. And I will give you about the next 30 seconds, which is longer than you need, to change your attitude. And when you change your attitude, let me tell you, life is going to go so much better for you. And you know, they might still have a sour face, and then you know what the next instruction is that they heed? Is it starts with your face. It doesn't, don't wait for it to come from the inside. Put it on the outside. I'm going to smile. And you know, strangely enough, a smile releases these chemicals in your brain that make you feel happy. And pretty soon, when you get a smile on the outside, it somehow starts to trigger things on the inside. So when you're looking at me, I hope that you're looking at me and you're smiling, not because I'm good looking, not because I'm smart, not because I'm preaching good, but because you've got a smile on your face because you're going to receive the word of God with great joy. You know, the Bible says they receive the word with joy and it profits them much. You mix it with faith. So that's the next step if you want to take it. You mix it with faith. How do you do that? You say, this is the word of God. Amen. It's not opinion. It's not tradition. It's not subject to debate. It is what it says it is. It'll do what it says it'll do. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And when I believe it today, I will be everything that it says that I can be. You see, when we mix it with faith, something changes. Faith changes everything. If you don't believe that, talk to God. There was nothing, and then there was his faith. And his faith entered the atmosphere, and it began to build. You want to change your life? You want more? Let me tell you how to do it. It's through an avenue of connecting your faith and your trust with the word of God. You want more in 2020? Let me show you how to do it. You ready? I'm going to warn you, it's going to take movement on your part. It's going to take movement on your part. Hallelujah. By the way, those of you that have never seen this before, obviously I'm not asking people to give me money. What people are doing is they're coming up and they're sowing seed into my life and into my hands, but it's just simply as this, as a sower of the Word of God, because they find value in the Word of God. Some people get really bent out of shape about that. We're not that way here. If you value the Word of God and you want to, you can partner with the Word of God. I promise you, there is nothing, no seed that you sow that will return to you void. In an atmosphere like this, anything is possible. Luke chapter 5, are you there? If you don't have a paper Bible, share with somebody because sharing is caring. I think they might be able to put it up on the screen. I'm not sure, but I threw them a curveball today and everything is different. So Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him," talking about Jesus, "to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake." Say this, they weren't doing anything. He saw two boats standing by the lake doing nothing. That's what he saw. "But the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets." The fishermen were doing something, but the boats were not. "Then he got into one of the boats." Bless you. "Then he got into one of the boats." You see, the boats weren't doing anything, but Jesus got in it. You see, you might be one of those boats today, and I'm going to meander all over the place as long as the Holy Ghost lets me. You might be one of these boats that's sitting there on the shore doing nothing. You know what boats are for? They're not to sit on the shore. Boats are not built for that. Boats are built to keep out water. Boats are meant to catch fish. Boats are meant to bring pleasure. Boats are meant for all kinds of things, but they're not meant to sit on the shore. Amen. You might be one of those boats until Jesus gets in your boat. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. By the way, I don't think that was an accident. I think that he picked that boat out of the Holy Ghost. He got into the boat, which is Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the multitude from the boat. Now, it might seem a little strange, but the physics of it is that the water actually acts as an amplifier to sound. They didn't have microphones and speaker systems like we do today. And so when Jesus got out onto the lake, a calm lake there, as he began to preach from the boat, the surface of the water would actually begin to amplify the sound. Now, if you're listening right and you know that water is a type of the Holy Spirit, do you understand that the Holy Spirit will amplify the Word of God in your life so that you can hear it the way it needs to be heard? So it will amplify it, not just in your hearing, but in the hearing of the multitudes around you. Amen. You see, I could talk. That's why you don't want me to preach the other message today. It's full of the Word of God. It's full of all of that. But I need the Holy Spirit to amplify it. I need it to resonate inside of your heart. So then it said this, but when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep. But I can't swim, Jesus. What happens if you can't swim? What happens if you can't touch the bottom? Launch out into the deep, Simon. Now, we knew that Peter could swim because later on in the Bible, unless he took swimming lessons, he swam to shore from his boat. But what if you can't swim? I don't know why you own a boat, but you see, sometimes that fear can keep us from doing what it is that we are supposed to do. But listen to what Peter said. But Simon answered and said to him, gave him an excuse. Master, and I think that's an important word. Master, was he really master at this moment? Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. You see, that's not how you respond to the master. This next phrase is, nevertheless. In other words, regardless of all of that. None of that stuff matters is what that means. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Listen, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking so that they signaled to their partners in the boat, in the other boat, to come and help them. The other boat, which, by the way, was also not catching fish because it was on the shore too. To come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish what they had taken. Let me ask you a question. Jesus, the Son of God, the one that walked on water, the one that healed the blind and caused them to see, the one that made it so that he could walk on water and raise the dead and all this stuff. I mean, this is Jesus, the Son of God. This is the same guy that told his disciples, go down to the shore and the first fish that you catch, open up their mouth and the tax money that you need is going to be in his mouth. Yep. Now listen, could Jesus not have made all the fish jump into the boats while they were on the shore? So why didn't he? Why didn't he? Because Jesus is not going to do everything for you. Jesus is going to partner with you. See, there's a change that needs to take place in our attitude that just because God can doesn't mean he's going to do it solo. We have to understand that the sovereignty of God is very different than God doing it solo. It's not God doing it independently of us. Some people say, God, you know I need a miracle. You know where I live. But that's not the issue. It's, do you know where God lives? Do you know where his presence is? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, you got to know where God lives and go there. God knows where you live. I don't know. Has anyone here had God knock on your door yet? Maybe the door of your heart saying, come on, let me in. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. See, some of us, we need to let Jesus get into our boat. You know, some of us would have been like if our boat's sitting on the shore and we're cleaning our nets and we see some strange dude that we don't know climbing into our boat. We're like, get out of our boat. See, but Jesus wanted to get into that boat so that he could get a miracle across to Peter. But without that allowance, we can't have the miracle. My friend, can I tell you today that the very area that you're keeping God out of is the very area that you're not going to have a miracle? Oh, Jesus, I want you to heal my body, but I don't want to do any work to get that healthy. I don't want to change anything. I want the silver bullet antidote. God is not a silver bullet. God is a partner. He works with us. In fact, you can find that in the book of Acts, I believe. I think it's Acts 10:38. God working with them. You see, Peter could have said, I tried it, and it didn't work. We toiled all night long. We're tired. We've done it. I'm not going out again. But listen, when Jesus talks, we've got to respond. You're going to find that in this church, you're going to hear this message over and over and over and over again, because this is the only thing that changes our life, is that when Jesus speaks, we move. When Jesus speaks, we move. Remember, it's not that, it's that Jesus says jump and we say how high. It's not we say jump and he says how high. God's not a genie in a bottle that when we rub up against him just right, that he gives us our wishes. God is a God of our entirety, of our circumstances, of our future, of our past, of all those things, but he wants to be the master of our heart. If you're willing, will you say this? I'm going to say the whole phrase so you know what you're getting into. When Jesus speaks, I move. That's my life. When Jesus speaks, I move. You see, Peter could have done nothing and he would have gotten nothing except maybe a good sermon. See, even in this house, you can come in on a weekly basis and you'll likely get a good sermon. But do you know that Jesus wasn't trying to just get Peter a good sermon? He said, now get in the boat with me and let's go. Let's go out into the deep. Now let your nets down for a draft. I want you to hear something in this story that's very important, that Peter and his cohorts, who are, by the way, professional fishermen. Now, those of you that might be professionals in your line of work and what you do in your lifestyle, your stay-at-home momming, your stay-at-home dadding, your this, your that, you might be a professional in your field. If you're too professional to listen to Jesus, you're too professional. But his styles are unorthodox. The things that he's asking me to do, maybe it's even the same things that you've done over and over and over again, and it hasn't worked. But when Jesus says to do it. It changes everything. Listen, Peter and them, they toiled all night long. They knew how to do this thing. It's not that there were not fish in the lake. There were fish in the lake. You might remember that other story when they were casting their net on one side of the boat and Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. It's not one of those things like all the fish were like, ooh, let's stay on this side of the boat because they're right-handed fishermen and they'll only throw it to the right side. It wasn't like that. It was a supernatural act that took place. Amen. That at the obedience that they let down their nets another time, they filled the nets. My friend, I want to tell you today that if you've been doing something over and over and over again, and maybe you've even given it up, you've put your boat into dry dock, and it's just sitting there, not fulfilling the purpose that it was meant to, maybe your life has been on pause, and you're not fulfilling the call that you've been sent to do, that mission that's on your life, that is a thread that has gone all the way from the time that you were a child, maybe even before you knew Jesus Christ. And you've just put it on pause. You put it on hold. The desires in your heart, you just said, well, I guess it's never going to come to pass. I've fished all night and I've toiled and I've gotten nothing. I've come to church every week. I've come to church for 10 years, 20 years, and I don't seem to be any better off. In fact, the people in the world maybe seem to be doing better than I am. Listen, get your boat out of dry dock. Jesus wants in your boat. But here's the lesson of this story is that Peter and all those guys, they did it professionally their own way. Their own way. You can raise your kids your own way. You can run your business your own way. You can have your marriage your own way. You can develop relationships your own way. Or listen, you can let Jesus in your boat and you can do things his way. It is a choice. And the results are vastly different. Two people can do exactly the same thing. There was nothing different that the Bible said that Peter did. This time around, when he threw it in, he didn't throw it with some supernatural English. He didn't have a special twist on the net when he threw it in this time. The only thing that changed was Jesus was in the boat and Jesus commanded him to do it. There's a natural way of doing things and a supernatural way of doing things. But isn't it amazing how they look exactly the same? But they're completely different. They're completely different in their origin, and they're completely different in their outcome. When we listen to the voice of God, that's where supernaturality begins. My friend, no matter what it is that you're doing, if you're going to school, you need to do that supernaturally. If you're going to work, you need to do that supernaturally. If you're being a parent, you need to do that supernaturally. If you're being a friend, you need to be a supernatural friend. If you're preaching, you need to preach supernaturally. How do you do that? It starts with the voice of God, getting Jesus in your boat, and letting him have his way. Can you say amen? Amen. It takes obedience. Say obedience. Obedience. You know, so many times we get caught up in this thing like, God, if you want me to have more, then you'll let me have more. And somehow we leave ourselves out of the equation. But if you've taken math, you know that if you leave things out of the equation, you come out with the wrong answer. Math is not subjective. You can't identify as the correct answer. You've got to get the right answer, or you've got the wrong answer. And you have to have all of the things in the right place for that to take place. Am I right? Yes. See, and Jesus wants us to have all of the pieces correct. We can say in our heart, Jesus, if you want me to have more, then I'll have more. Is that true? Yeah. Is it true? It's not a trick question, I promise you. There's no wrong answer. It is true. But it's not true. It is, but it isn't. Because if he wants you to have more, you'll have more. Because no one's going to stop the will of God in your life. Oh, wait a minute. Except one person. This guy. That guy. The one person that's staring at you in the mirror every day. See, every time that we say no to the will of God, we're stopping the provision of God. Every time that we do things our way, we cut off his way. Every time that we say, yeah, you know, I know that's what the Bible says, but the Bible was written a long time ago, and it's just not practical for today. I mean, society has changed so much. Can I tell you that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega? He's the beginning and the ending. That he's relevant at every point in time. There is no point in time at which Jesus is not relevant. But sometimes we just get so smart, we know how to do it. We can Google it. We can search it up. We can do whatever we need to. We can find a self-help book when really what we need is we need to turn to the pages of the book that was authored by the one that authored us. And we can learn how to do things his way. Would you say this? I want to do things Jesus' way. You do. You really do, because then you have good results. See, sometimes when we leave ourselves out of the equation and the part that we have to play with it, we might even talk about things like habits. All right, let's talk about habits for a moment. I'm not going to talk about your habit unless I talk about your habit, but I don't know your habit unless it's by the Holy Ghost. So, you know, we've got these habits that go on. Can I just say that habits don't change without change? Write that down. Habits don't change without change. In other words, you cannot just create a vacuum in your life. When you've got a habit pattern that's going on that is detrimental and destructive to you, whether it's a spending habit, whether it's an entertainment habit, whether it's an eye gate or an ear gate or a mouth gate habit, whatever it is, maybe it's relationship habits, I don't know what it is, but whatever those habits might be, you cannot just leave it in a vacuum. It's not possible. You know what vacuums do? They suck in rubbish. So when we try to purge out these habits, well, I'm just going to stop cold turkey. That very rarely works. Here's how you do it. In the old days, nails were not like they are today. They were more like a spike that sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't have a head on it. And they didn't really have the tools like cat claws and flat bars and all these things that we have today to extract nails. So when the nail had gotten rusty because they didn't have stainless steel and all of this stuff, coated nails and all that, the only way to get that nail out was that you had to take a new nail, you put it on the head of the old nail, and you drive it out the other side. Here's the principle. When you want to change a habit in your life, you cannot just extract the nail because then the pieces of wood fall apart. You've got to replace it with a new nail. Here's what you do. If you're struggling currently with a particular habit, you must replace it with another habit. A good habit. A God habit. Well, I just spend too much time playing video games. Not that I'm talking to anybody in particular. By the way, their video game playing is very limited. I play too many video games. I used to have that problem, admittedly so, because Call of Duty was awesome. And so how do I get rid of that? Because if I've been playing 3 hours or 5 hours a day, or those people that are aspiring to be professional video gamers play 9 hours a day, you know, like a full-time job. Sorry if I'm getting too close to home for some of you. But maybe it's eating up your potential. Maybe it's eating up the things. It's like a locust that's eating up your potential and your destiny. And maybe it's stealing time away because then you feel demotivated to do things like read, to do something educational, to actually improve yourself. Maybe it's stealing away, and this can go for any habit. It can be sports. It can be shopping. It can be online shopping. Whatever that thing is, when we identify it, the way that we've got to do it is we have to replace it with something. If I'm playing 3 hours of video games a day, and I say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that. Great. So the first day you stop, and you know what you do? You stare at the TV blankly for 3 hours because you don't know what else to do. And you know what? That was really boring. So you know what you do tomorrow? You play video games. And your one day cold turkey failed. The secret of success is to simply replace an old habit with a new habit, with a better habit, with a purpose-driven habit, with a habit that's going to take you to your destiny and not from your destiny, with a habit that's going to improve you and not reduce you. I think it's important to understand that when we are saying this phrase, God, if you want me to have more, then you'll let me have more, that there's a partnership to be had. That it's removing bad habits. It's about stepping and walking in the direction that God wants us to. In fact, if you'll think about it, you know that passage of scripture I was referring to about the disciples casting their net on the other side of the boat? That is a perfect picture of what repentance is. See, repentance is this. And I'm not trying to get you to come to the altar crying in repentance. I want you to listen to what repentance is. It's doing things the way that I've always done them, naturally, the way that I've learned how to do them. And then hearing, cast your net on the other side. So I make a 180-degree turn. And the way that I had been doing it my whole life, I change it by 180 degrees and I go the other direction. That's what repentance looks like. It's listening to the voice of God to change our direction 180 degrees. A lot of us, we want to just, I don't know how better to explain it. I've got one of those science minds, right? So when you think about things like, if you know what a vector is, right? So if something's traveling on this path and something else comes along and intercepts it, bang! It doesn't completely change that vector. It kind of goes somewhere in between. If you've ever played pool, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But we cannot allow our lives to be changed by degrees through our intersection with Jesus. What I mean by that is that many times people want to get Jesus so that they can feel a little bit better about themselves. When what Jesus wants is he wants to take over. We want him to just fix up the ugly parts and put Bondo into the spots where we've got rust holes and then repaint us so that we look like we're brand new. But what Jesus wants to do is he wants to do a frame off restoration. He wants to make all things new. How do we do that? We have to convert our ways to his ways. See, conversion is not about coming into church and saying, I used to be a Buddhist, but now I'm a Christian. I used to be a part of this club, but now I'm a part of that club. That's not what conversion is. Conversion is switching our ways of doing things to his ways of doing things. That's what repentance is it's changing from my way to his way. Here's the problem. We don't want to do the work to find out what his way is. Or when we find out his way, we're like, that'll never work. I've toiled all night, Jesus. I've done that exact same thing, Jesus. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down my nets. When you get Jesus into your boat, everything changes. I want to talk about how you get more. Here's how you get more. You might remember the story of the widow woman that Elijah went to. When he went there, God said, I will have this widow woman to provide for you there. You might remember the widow woman that she just had a handful of meal and a little bit of oil in a jar, and she was going to make a cake with it, eat it, and die. Now, those are not exciting plans for the day. I would suggest not having those plans. Make better plans, like more cakes or something. But here's what the prophet said. He said, go to your neighbors and borrow vessels, not a few. And if you remember the story, that as she had all these vessels and there were no more vessels that she could find, she began to pour out of that cruse of oil. And as she began to pour, that it just kept on pouring, and it kept on pouring, and it filled this vessel, and it filled that vessel, and this one, and that one, until all the vessels were full, and there were no more vessels that were empty, so the oil stopped. I get a couple of things out of that passage of scripture. Number one, had she had more vessels, the oil would have kept on going. She would have been the first oil tycoon if she could have found a way to keep getting more vessels. Maybe if I were her, I would have hired some neighbors to come and pour out some oil. Here, can you empty this one over there and bring it back empty so I can keep on pouring? See, I'm not pouring out for full vessels today. I don't know if you heard me. I'm not trying to top you off. Jesus is looking for empty vessels that don't know how it's done, that every day is, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. See now, if this woman got one vessel, how much oil would she have gotten? One vessel's worth. If she had gotten five vessels, how many vessels worth would she have gotten? See, this is not complicated. If she had unlimited vessels, how much oil would she have had? Unlimited. What if she had gotten zero vessels? How much oil would she have had? She would have had eat your cake and die vessels. See, if she would have said in her heart, God, you know where I live, and if you want me to have more, then I'll have more. If she left out her part, he could not have done his part. It's very interesting that anything times zero is not just zero, it's undefined. It's like less than zero. You can't even define what it is. Let me ask you this. What is it that you're giving to God? I'm going to let you see law on that for just a moment. What is it that you're giving to God? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about, are you bringing him an empty vessel? Are you giving him your willingness? Are you giving him your sacrifice? Are you giving him your obedience? Are you giving him your time? Are you giving him your attention? Are you giving him your priorities? What is it that you're giving to God? Because if we give nothing to God, our life is going to be this thing called undefined. Undefined. But if you want more, can I tell you that the way to get more, the way to have more in God's presence, that's awesome, Austin. The way to have more in God's presence is to give him something. Give him something to work with. He's not just going to add it to you. You've got to give him something to work with. You know, for most of us, I think it's really interesting that I think that we know what it is that God's asking for. And sometimes it seems like a big ask. You got to pronounce that last syllable very carefully. It's a big ask. I want to give you one last thing as I close today. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. I want to read through this story. This is a story about the very first miracle that Jesus did. Remember, we're talking about how to get more today. A friend of mine once told me after I preached for him a message very similar to like this in this stream of the Holy Ghost. He said, that was not a good sermon. But he said it was a really good message. I'm not trying to sermonize and pontificate to you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to sermonize to you. There's much better preachers in the world than me. What I'm trying to get across to you is the message that God has. Because the message that you hear is incredibly important. Because Jesus was the message, but some people heard it wrong. Some people didn't get the message. But if they got the message, their life was radically changed. Your life can be radically changed today. This is a story about Jesus' first miracle in his miracle-working ministry. By the way, this was 30-some-odd years into his life. So for those of you that have been serving Jesus for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, look, that's what Jesus did. He didn't do one miracle until that time. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to have to go through that. But if Jesus went through it and then changed the world in 3.5 years of earthly ministry, I think you're doing all right. Stay consistent. Don't get bored. Don't get jaded by it. You're setting yourself up for success. It says this, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Man, I hope that my wife and I are there to see my kids do miracles in the name of Jesus. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now listen, this is a type and the shadow of the Holy Spirit. The new wine is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They're at the celebration and everything is awesome. In fact, on Sunday mornings, that's what it is. It's a celebration. But what happens if you run out of wine? What happens when you run out of the presence of the Holy Spirit? You've got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We need to find a way to get more wine. Listen, Jesus said to her, woman, Young men, young women, can I tell you, it is a bad idea to refer to your mother as woman. Don't do it. You might just get, you know, right? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from them. Says this, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Then his mother said to the servants, listen, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, many of us would like to think that these disciples had nothing to do with the miracle at Cana. It was all Jesus. No, it wasn't. Because if they didn't respond to what Jesus told them to do, which is next, he told them to go get water, lots of water. There were these six huge pots that carried, I don't even remember what the number is, many, 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 many gallons of water. He told them, go get water. It's not like they turned on the tap. There was no tap to turn on. They had to go huff it into the woods or whatever, wherever the well was. They had to draw forth with joy from the wells of salvation, draw it up, bring it back, dump it in the thing. And I don't know how big the bucket was that they had to carry, but at 7 pounds per gallon of water, I would venture to guess that it probably wasn't like a 10-gallon pot because they had clay pots and those things are heavy already. I don't think that they were carrying 100-pound pots of water. So maybe they had to take a lot of trips. They had to take a lot of trips. How many of you have been to church a lot of times? I've been to church a lot of times. Lots of times. But you know what? Sometimes you're just carrying a little bit of water each time. But when you do what Jesus told you to do, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if it's glamorous. It doesn't matter if you got a lot of water in your pot. It doesn't matter if you got a lot of recognition because nobody even knew they were there. They just kept on going back, shuttling water, shuttling water. Now, I don't know how many of the disciples were with him. I think it was probably all of them. But here they are. Maybe there was one bucket at the well. They had to take turns doing it. What I'm trying to communicate to you is that it was not an easy, simple, or a quick process. Nor was it flashy, nor was it one of those things. Jesus' disciples are here. I went to a prom once. The name of the school will remain unnamed here. But I went to a friend's prom, and at their school, their custom was that when you show up to the prom, they announce you that you're there. Announcing Jacob, Edward, Keoloho, Stewart, and whoever this is with him. All right. I mean, they announced you when you went in. The disciples were not announced. In fact, they're not even named by their names. Can you imagine that? Jesus was invited, and his disciples came too. It's not about your name getting known. You know what I'm saying? It's about Jesus' name being known. And when we get that in our heart, that this thing is not glamorous, it's a whole lot of work, and maybe they came dressed for a wedding, but now they're out there drawing water. I come dressed nicely on Sunday. No, I don't come dressed nicely on a Sunday morning. I know I'm going to work on a Sunday morning. So I don't come dressed real nice. I change into nicer clothes to preach. But you see, when we understand that when we labor alongside Jesus, it's labor. It's work. That's why when women have babies, they call it labor. They don't call it fun. Hey, how about 24 hours of fun? No, they call it labor. Why? Because getting new life into the world takes work. They go back and forth. I don't know how long this took them, but the party was going on. And by the time that they finally got all the pots filled up, they're out of wine. And Jesus said that he would go ahead and have them dish out the wine. I think what's amazing is, for some reason, the verse numbers didn't show up for me here. It said, but when they took it, the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. By the way, water is a type and a shadow of the Word of God. And when the Word of God and the Spirit of God get together, you get some new wine. And when he had tasted of this particular wine that was made from the water. So why do we tell you that you should read your Bible? Because when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it turns the water into wine in your life. You can get pretty happy on the Word of God. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Thank you, Tori. Bless you. Be filled. How are you going to get filled without drinking wine? Well, they look pretty drunk on the day of Pentecost. We'll get there in the next few weeks. The water that was made wine and didn't know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. They're like, oh yeah, I did that. I brought the water. That's why I'm sweating. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. So probably they had set out the good wine. That was the good stuff they sent out. And when the guests have well drunk, then they set out the inferior because everybody's like, yeah, it's still good to me. And then he said, but you've kept the good wine until now. So let me say it this way. The wine that Jesus made from the water of the Word of God was better than the wine that the world could offer. It was better than the good stuff. You want the good stuff in your life? You got to get the Word of God with the Spirit of God breathing on it to make it good wine in your life. You've kept the good wine until now, and this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested or uncovered his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I want to come back real quickly as I end this today. I want to ask you these two questions. The first question is this: what are you giving to the Lord? What are you giving to the Lord? I'm not talking about dollars and cents, but it might include that. I'm asking, like, what percentage of you are you giving to the Lord? What is it that you're giving? And you may be able to name this and that and this and that and this and that. Now let me ask you the follow-up question. What are you holding back from the Lord? What are you holding back from the Lord? You've heard us say this many times, and I want you to ponder on that as I say this. That for so many people, they're like, Pastor Jake, I'll do almost anything to change. I'll do almost anything to get this breakthrough. I'll do almost anything. And then the next question comes, all right, since you're willing to do almost anything, what is it that you're not willing to do? Because the thing that you're not willing to do is the thing that's going to hold you back. Well, I'm not willing to get sweaty. Well, there you go. Well, I'm not willing to give whatever God tells me to give because I have this budget, I've got this plan, and when God tells me to give, he's got to know my budget and operate within my budget. Well, then, I'm sorry, my friend, but that's where it ends for you. See, because God blows my budget all the time. It just messes it up. He gets in there, gets his hands in there, and messes it all up. Like, go fish. And you know what? I'm still all right. Because if I listen to God, miracles happen. You want more in 2020? Let me tell you how you do this. You hear God and you obey. You listen and obey. Amen. I've mentioned these few things as I just end. I want to give you a couple of things to think about. What is it that you're holding back? Is it your time? Are you holding back your time? But Lord, you know that I'm really busy. Yeah, I still asked. Maybe it's your energy. God, you know that I'm just energy deficient, God. You know that I'm busy, and my time and my energy and those things are precious to me, God. God's going to put his hand on the precious in your life. The things that are precious to us, that's the thing that God's asking us for. And when we give those things to him, can I tell you that God will multiply it, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over, and you're going to have more than you know to do with. Is it your energy? Let me give you a good scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Get out of the realm of the natural. Get into the realm of the supernatural. Don't do it your way anymore. Do it his way. Don't just work hard because that's what you do. Work hard because that's what Jesus told you to do. Maybe it's our finances. God, you know the dollars and cents. Yes, but I don't care. Maybe it's our habits. God, you know I've got this thing, right? It's really important to me. It's my habit. I always do this. Well, when God asks for it, I hope that we can give it. How about our mindsets? I got this mindset that what I do is I do Sunday mornings and I do Sunday mornings exclusively. I don't do anything else. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I'm not picking on you today. Please hear me. I don't do anything else. I don't show up to anything else because I'm busy. God, you know that. And I don't think that you would want me to. Listen, if you're saying, I don't think you'd want me to, that's you thinking and not him thinking. Remember, our ways are not his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Thank God. I'm trying to get us to be converted in his presence. The Bible says this, repent. In other words, turn around from the way that you've always done things, your natural priority system, your natural way of doing things. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord, so that times of refreshing can come in the presence of the Lord. I want nothing more than for church to be refreshing for you. I want nothing more than for you to walk around every single day of your life so refreshed, so happy, so full of joy, so full of peace, so full of righteousness, that life just really, barring a miracle, it couldn't get any better. That's what I want for you. But I know that the only way for that to happen is to repent and be converted, that our sins would be blotted out, so that everything that we do, we can be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. The last thing that I want anybody to do is to come to church and not be in the presence of the Lord. I wouldn't want you to walk another day without being in the presence of the Lord. By the way, you can be in the presence of the Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if there's any other day that ends in day, you can be in the presence of God. There is no day that should be without the presence of God. Can you hear me on that? Man, I hope that something came across to you strongly today. If you're going to do one thing this week, do this. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. Is it going to cost you? Yes, it is, but no, it isn't. It's going to cost you, but it's not going to cost you. Jesus is not going to be a debtor to you. Can you say amen to that? If you've not had an opportunity, or if you did not give yet today, but you want to, just as I close in prayer today, would you just allow the presence of God just to come upon you? And if you want to give, you can come up and give. But Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that even as I've meandered through the streams and the rivers and the different ways that your spirit was moving today, God, I pray that this word would come across with great grace. God, that it would be not just soft, but that it would be challenging. God, that it would change us forever. Father, that we would not be people that sit with our boats in dry dock, but that we would get up at your word, that we would push out into the deep, that we would let down our nets the way you said to do it. And we know that when we do that, when we listen and when we obey, that great progress, that great increase, that great miracles, that great astonishment, that true belief in seeing the acts of God are going to come to pass in our lives. Father, for those that have teetered on the fence of indifference, God, I pray that today that I would have kicked them, pushed them, shoved them, hit them off into the direction of your will for their life. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be your people and that this week that we would do more than we've ever done before, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. Let our ways, let our thoughts, let our motives, let everything be converted over to you, God. And I pray that you would help us to turn up the spiritual thermostat. God, that if it has not been our habit to read our Bible and pray every day, that we would do it. God, that if it's not been our habit to gather together with other believers, that we would do it. God, that if it has not been our habit to invite people into the presence of God, that we would do it. That if it has not been our habit to step out in faith and say, you need healing, I'll lay my hands on you, that we would do it. God, I pray that we would raise our kids in your way, that we would speak in your way, that we would think in your way, and that every way of ours would be put to death so that we can have every way of yours in our life. Lord, I pray that this word would resonate throughout this church, throughout this body of believers, throughout this community, and that when people see us as we do things your way, that it would be a peculiar thing to them, that we would be a city built on a hill that cannot be hid, and that our lives would shine forth like noonday. I thank you, God, that you would change our lives as individuals and that you would change this church, that as we level up this year, that we would level up into doing things the way that you want them to be done. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts today and that we would set our face as a flint to the things that you're calling us to. In these next 2 weeks with Brother Green and Pastor Mel Mullen, I pray that these words would just drop into our hearts and that we would never be the same ever again. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Would you welcome Pastor Jolie to close us today?
Thank you again, Pastor Jake, for that Holy Spirit-inspired word. Are you guys blessed this morning? Amen. That was, there's so much, I took like 5 pages of notes, but there's so much that the Spirit wanted to say to us. And I believe that it's a strategic time, not just being the beginning of the year, but because as we heard from the prophetic words that were spoken during worship, God is about to do something big and he wants us to be ready. He doesn't want us to miss out or be left behind. So pay very careful attention to those prophetic words and the word of the Lord that Pastor Jake spoke this morning. If you need to go back and re-listen to it, I'm going to do that because that's something God spoke to me. But if you feel like you might have missed something or you need to hear it again, go back and re-listen to it. And